tremendous privilege and blessing that God has allowed each of us to be present on this beautiful Lord's Day morning. Although the weather is threatening, challenging precipitation, we're still blessed, and this is still a beautiful day. Indeed, this is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so glad to be here today, and I'm so glad to see you here today. And if I didn't know better, I would think y'all were glad to see me through, to see me too. No, I believe you as glad to see me as I am to see you. And if you love me as much as I love you, it'd take a mighty sharp knife to cut our love in two. I want you to turn to the passage that was read by Brother Solomon just a few moments ago. This is a passage that is familiar to all of us, more familiar to some than to others, but it is indeed impregnated with eternal truths and a very meaningful definition of the thing called love. In the first part of this chapter, Paul tells us about the preeminence of love. In the middle section, he tells us about the properties of love. And in the final section, he tells us about the permanence of love. I'm just going to read the verses basically that pertain to the properties of love, starting with verse number 4. He says, and I'm going to substitute love for charity, love suffers long and is kind. Love envies not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. A cogent and practical definition of love. Do you experience that kind of love? Do you demonstrate in your relationships that kind of love? Is this kind of love characteristic of your home, your marriage? Is this the kind of love that is epitomized in the congregational fellowship? Is this the kind of love with which you want to be loved? I'm not going to do a long and drawn-out dissertation on love. I do want to emphasize, however, its vital and indispensable nature. We cannot do without it. We cannot live without it, not successfully and not meaningfully. We must have this kind of love. What I want to talk to you about today is about something different, but love ultimately is the central element, and I will make that more clear as we proceed. What I want to talk about today is climate change. Climate change. Now, you might wonder, what does climate change have to do with love? And what does climate change have to do with church? What does climate change have to do with our relationships? What does climate change have to do with our homes? But before we venture into those waters, let's first of all give you a meaningful and multifaceted definition of climate. Although I'm sure we already understand what climate means. Climate is variously defined as a region with particular weather patterns or conditions. Also, and mark this well, climate, the usual weather conditions in a particular place or region. Furthermore, the usual or most widespread mood or conditions in a place. So not only do we have a specific climate in Tennessee, or climate in what we call the Sunshine State, or climate in Hawaii or any other tropical location. You have a certain climate in Iceland, in Greenland, in Antarctica. But not only is this true, there's a certain climate in your home. Yeah, we got central air in our home, and we keep it real nice and comfortable. Well, that's true. You know, I was talking to a person, a friend, last night, and they said, I am very cold-natured. And so when you go into her home, the climate is probably a lot different than it is in your home, because she keeps her thermostat on 76 degrees. She's cold-natured. My wife is hot-natured. And when she's sweating and burning up, figuratively, there are icicles hanging off me. So we understand the climate. But now, I'm not talking about the climate as it pertains to temperature in your home. I'm not talking about the climate as it pertains to the temperature in the church building. You know, we've had some times when it was pretty hot, but that's not the climate I'm talking about. I'm talking about a different kind of climate, and I want to continue my definition of climate. Furthermore, climate is defined as the prevailing influence or environmental conditions characterizing a group or period. The conditions that surround someone or something, the conditions and influences that affect the growth, health, progress of someone or something. Furthermore, the circumstances, objects, or conditions by which one is surrounded constitutes climate. Not only that, but the complex of physical, chemical, and biotic factors in the natural world, such as soil and living things that act upon an organism or an ecological community and ultimately determine its form and survival. Now, this last one I want you to think about seriously. The aggregate of spiritual, moral, social, and cultural conditions that influence the life of an individual or community. And that applies to the home, and it applies to the church as well. The church can thrive and grow only when a proper climate in the congregation prevails. A church can only thrive and grow and reproduce and be healthy and meet the needs of its members and the needs of its community if a proper climate exists within the congregation itself on a spiritual, a moral plane. And we want the church to grow. But in order for the church to grow, in order for the church to thrive, it is necessary that we cultivate, that we promote, and that we maintain a proper spiritual, moral, social climate among God's people. Amidst harsh and caustic conditions, growth is hindered, stymied, and considerably reduced. Really, it makes it almost impossible to grow. See, there are some things you can't grow in a particular climate. That's why we grow cotton in Alabama and Mississippi and Texas and California. We don't grow cotton in Alaska. We don't grow cotton in Antarctica. Now, they grow good cotton, quality cotton, in Egypt. Because the climate is conducive to growing good crops of cotton. Why do you think a lot of the produce, fruits, and vegetables are grown in California and in Florida and in tropical areas? You see, the climates in those regions are conducive to growing those particular products. You can't grow a strawberry, is that how you say it, Christina, strawberry? You can't grow a crop of strawberries in an ill-suited climate. You can't grow Christians. You can't grow children of God. You can't grow and develop the fruit of the Spirit in climate. You need to have a positive spiritual environment in order for the church to proliferate and in order for the church to propagate. You have to have the right climate. You know, we have what's called the EPA. That's the Environmental Protection Agency. They are tasked with making sure that we keep the environment or the climate in as good a shape and as healthy as possible. I have a very good friend who for many years, Sister Daniel knows him well, Brother James Hatley. James has worked, I'm sure he's retired now, but he worked for many years for EPA. And he used to do some extensive traveling in the southern region because he worked for the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, God has some EPA. Some EPA folk in the church. Well, who are they? Well, you're looking at one of them. And if you look in the mirror, you see nothing. All of us are tasked with protecting the environment, the climate in the church of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we think about climates, one of the first climates I think about, which is a negative climate, is the climate during the antediluvian period. That just gives reference to the period before the flood. They had a bad climate back in those days. And the reason I know they did is because of Genesis 6:5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That's a bad climate to be living in. And I think that our current climate is characterized by the same kind of conditions that are described in this verse. I also focus on the climate during the period of the judges. Judges 17 and verse 6. And I think that climate of chaos, lawlessness, that climate of immorality, that climate of anarchy also characterizes our own age. Judges 17, 6. In those days, there was no king in Israel. But every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That same sentiment is expressed cogently in Judges 21, 25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. You in a heap of trouble. When every man does that which is right in his own eyes, you're in a heap of trouble if that condition prevails or that climate prevails in the home, if that climate prevails in the body politic, if that climate prevails in the moral realm, if that climate prevails in the social realm, if that climate prevails in the church of our Lord. In no particular realm or area of society can people operate on that particular basis doing what is right in your own eyes. It's not a good climate. The climate during the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Genesis 19 was a climate of moral corruption and depravity. A bad climate to live in. climate to a great degree is operative, very much present in our current society. I was listening late last night to a news report on Fox News, and they were interviewing some people and their views about the various presidential candidates. And there was a gay guy. Well, I don't think he was actually gay, but he calls himself gay. He's a homosexual, but he came out, he said. He came out as a homosexual, as a gay, supporting Donald Trump. And he said it was harder for him to come out as a gay supporting Donald Trump than it was for him to come out as a homosexual back when he first came out of the closet. And the part I want to mention is the fact that he said, when he made it known to his comrades and his friends and his fellow LGBT folk, he said they unleashed a barrage of insults and profanities. They excoriated him in a spirit of moral depravity. They went up one side of him and down the other because he was supporting Donald Trump as a gay. And I'm saying that that is just one indication of the kind of climate that we live in. On a moral and spiritual level, it was shocking initially when it was first brought to my attention that there are politicians that are picked out to be picked on if they will even affirm that marriage is between a man and a woman. What do you mean? What are you saying about us who are part of the LGBT community? You can't dare say that marriage is just between a man and a woman? Excuse me? That's been the definition of marriage from the dawn of creation, from the years of antiquity. It's not really a marriage. Marriage has always been, is now, and will always be between a man and a woman. No two men can procreate together. No two women can procreate together. Two women, two lesbians can't have no baby. They have to resort to seeking out a male. Two men can't have no baby. But they want to elevate so-called gay marriage to the same level of heterosexual monogamous marriage as ordained by the great God of glory. It is He who hath made us and not we ourselves. All the climate in the world is depraved. The climate in the world is turned upside down. Right is wrong and wrong is right. The gays used to be in the closet. Now they are out of the closet. And in too many instances, Christians have now hidden themselves in the closet. But let the redeemed of the Lord say so. There's need for climate change in the world. Question. Do I contribute to a negative, unhealthy, polluted climate in the Lord's church? I'm not asking if you do, but I'm asking, do I? You know, like the disciples, Lord, is it I? What kind of contribution to the climate in the Lord's church am I contributing to? Question, due to my influence in the home, is my home characterized by a climate of anger, suspicion, hostility, malice, division, selfishness, distrust, permissiveness, negativity, or criticism? Is the Lord's church characterized by those same caustic elements or caustic pollutants? Do I contribute to a negative climate of distrust, suspicion, apathy, division, criticism, and hostility in the home or church? What kind of climate should we endeavor to create and foster in the Lord's church? I want you to consider this. Christians, brothers, sisters, we cannot afford to foster and sustain a climate in the church that is not conducive to spiritual growth and development. We must put forth a concerted effort to create and promote a climate that encourages growth and healthy functioning and spiritual productivity. We cannot be our best or do our best in a negative, stifling, unspiritual climate, either in the Lord's church or in the home. There are some qualities that we need to cultivate and maintain in the church of the Lord in order that we might have the proper climate. We need a climate where there's understanding. We need a climate where there is sympathy, characterized by a spirit of humility. We need a climate where encouragement frequently takes place. We need a climate where cooperation prevails. We need a climate characterized by peace, by sensitivity, by forgiveness, by mutual respect, characterized by a spirit of unselfishness. A climate of caring must be constantly operative. And not only is that the truth, but we also need a climate where patience is shown and where long-suffering is demonstrated, where meekness is exhibited, where gentleness is in operation, where goodness is evident, and where love prevails. It was Jesus who said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one for another." The capstone of human virtues, the greatest thing in the world. I don't hear much from Dion these days, but she used to sing, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." I add, what the home needs now, what marriages need now, is love, sweet love. In a larger sense, on a higher level, what the church needs now and cannot survive without is love, sweet love. I'm thankful for you loving me, and I'm thankful for the ability in my own feeble way to love you. I'm grateful for the love my wife has for me, and the love my daughter has for me, and the love my family has for me. Overall, the most significant element in the climate, home or church, is love. It should and it must prevail. If you're here today and you want to respond to God's wonderful gift of love for the human race, for all of us, I encourage you to respond to it. It is stated we love him because he first loved us.